welcome back to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. I am Chris or Chameleon, one of your hosts here, and I have with me Mr. Mason of Rad Dreams Review. Wow, if I didn't butcher that.
You're all right. Yo, what is up, guys? And what is up, Chris?
Nothing, man, nothing. Unfortunately, our other host, Devin or Darkness Tiger, was unable to make this episode. He is in Brazil.
Yep. And he is at a hotel. Their internet connection is garbage.
Yes, complete and utter dog.
What did he say? Like, what was his speed? What was he saying?
Oh man, it was low.
Like, was it 10 megabits?
Yeah, it was something silly like that. I was just like, well, yeah, no, you're not going to be able to do that.
So, speaking of which, like, I spent some time with one of my relatives the other day, and him and I got into a conversation about, like, how internet speeds have, like, drastically improved since, like, we were kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when you, like, you know, as you guys know, like, Chris and I were technically, we are considered millennials. So, you know, we grew up in the 90s, and when we were kids, like, the internet was, like, a, you know, kind of just really coming to be, like, the normal, quote-unquote, fast speeds were, like, 30 megabits per second.
Oh, dude, I don't even know if it's that much. I think it was, like, kilobits.
Dude, it was low. I remember when we got Windstream internet, and the highest they went was like 10 megs per second.
Here it is. So dial-up internet had a maximum speed of 56 kilobytes per second.
I remember now, when I used to think that dial-up was the way to go.
I mean, it was. So, like, you have to think of it this way too. Like, the file sizes were much, much smaller.
Oh yeah, 100%.
We were much more patient in those days too.
Yes.
I feel like
the days now, like, of you know, scouring the web or doing Kazaa or LimeWire.
Yeah. Infecting your computer with every single virus known to man. Your audio just went real soft there. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I did. Sorry about that.
Is that better? It's all good.
But yeah, the days of using LimeWire and Kazaa.
It's crazy.
That's what I was saying.
Like, yeah.
And like,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, if anybody ever did like torrents or anything like that, you would do file sharing. And a lot of times you would download something and not know if you were going to get what you wanted.
or you'd be downloading it. And it would just disconnect, and it would never finish the download.
Yep. So you'd have to find you would either restart it, or like you said, find a new one.
Or just your computer just dies from all of the viruses that you have downloaded.
Yeah.
Over the time. The 90s/early 2000s were a wild time.
Yeah, it was definitely like the Wild West. Like yes. I was also talking to him about like how me and my friends used to bring floppy disks into school with flash games on them installed, and we would put them in the PCs in the computer lab and just play flash games instead of actually doing like work.
Right, because who in that computer lab was actually doing the computer lab?
We would find ways to circumnavigate the firewall of the school for their internet and access websites that we weren't supposed to.
Oh my God. Yeah. Internet security in schools back then was trash.
Oh dude, it was a literal joke. Like
if that was someone's role, they weren't doing a very good job.
No.
I feel like it was just a librarian. Let me just put on this firewall. That's the best I can do. You could go in and turn it off as a student accounts. It was funny.
It was nutty. So speaking of games, though, what have you been up to in terms of gaming?
Yeah. So I've been playing Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
The first one.
Very good game.
So I actually am not really liking it.
Really? How come?
It's kind of boring. Like, okay. I don't know what it is. Like, like, you know me, I loved God of War. I thought God of War is probably one of the best. It is not the best. One of the best single player games I've ever played.
Oh yeah, I 100% agree with you. Like, it's definitely up there, but it's not the best, but it's damn
it's close. High. It's very, very high up there.
So
And I was playing it and I've been getting similar vibes. Like, the way you do the parkour in the game is just pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
What God of War did really well was the different camera angles.
I enjoyed that too.
Yes. I'm really struggling to connect with Aloy. I don't know what it is. It's just, I'm just not feeling her.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard to relate.
Yeah. Like, I was like, okay, so she's just this outsider in the village. I was like, well, that sucks. Okay. I'm like, all right. And then, like, I don't know. It's just I'm just not getting that, like, a really great connection with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm gonna for sure finish the game.
Yeah.
And see how this all unfolds and goes. But it's been a little bit harder for me of a game.
Yeah. And like, the thing with God of War, like, with especially main character wise, like, Kratos had such a rich story.
Yeah.
And Aloy, while her story is, like, okay, it's nowhere near as, like, compelling as God of War and Kratos' story.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, his path is, like, it's like a roller coaster, you know? It goes up and down.
Absolutely.
In terms of, like, his struggle.
Yeah. I hope one day, so there is, this is one remaster that I would actually love to see, where they just remaster all the old games so I can through and play them, get the full story, because I had to watch YouTube videos of
because the games are, you know, for PS2.
Yeah, it's dated back to fucking PS2.
And was it Chains of Olympus was on PSP?
Dumb. I hate when they do offshoot mobile games. Mm-hmm. Like, I never play them. Yep. I just never play them. It's so silly.
Mm-hmm. Like, Kingdom Hearts had that same issue.
Oh my god, don't even get me started on that. They botched that series. Like, that could have been one of the best, like JRPGs ever created. And they completely shit the bed.
Like, yeah, I mean, yes, there's very good ones, like Birth by Sleep, Kingdom Hearts 2, Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yep. 3 is a joke.
Chain of Memories. But, like, I don't know. Green all, like, the
trash.
I didn't really enjoy Dream Drop that much because it felt like a Pokemon simulator.
Yeah, exactly.
I just didn't enjoy the whole aspect of, like, basically catching mons to power yourself up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, obviously number 3 was a little disappointing.
Oh, that was extremely disappointing. I got so confused in it because there was just characters that were popping up with these voice lines that I just literally didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped playing. I never even beat it. It's
worth finishing just to say that you did, but, like, the ending, cliffhanger.
Yeah. I've gotta go through and play all the other games, play them all, get the full story so that I understand what the hell is going on in this universe.
Good luck with that, because the story is very convoluted.
I know. And I gotta watch the movie too to understand.
The movie's good. I mean, it doesn't really make sense, but it's good. Like, it looks nice.
Interesting. Yeah, that's what I've been playing, and of course my other usual games.
What, still doing Destiny?
Of course. I actually finished a raid yesterday.
Another
new raid I hadn't done before.
It's always very satisfying.
Yeah. I got an exotic weapon. So I got one of the best exotics in the game called the Divinity. Nice. I had a good time. We found a good squad. They stuck it. They were like teaching two of us, like me and my buddy. And we got through it actually pretty quick. I would say it only took us an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours max. And that's pretty good
For a raid. Like 2 hours is nothing in terms of how long it takes. Like I used to raid when I used to play World of Warcraft. And raids would take like 6 hours, maybe eight. Yep. Like
crazy.
Like you had to dedicate pretty much an entire evening/night just so that you could, you know, do the raid, because you never really knew like how far you were going to get.
Yep. Absolutely. I'm so glad that now games do checkpoints with these raids and stuff. Because there have been times where like we'll be playing, we'll have a group and then someone's gotta leave and we're like, we had a good squad going and we'll have to come back to this later because we don't want to deal with looking for someone and getting someone that wants that checkpoint or whatever.
Okay, cool that Destiny does checkpoints and everything.
Yeah. It's really cool. The one I just did, it was probably the easiest raid I've done. And it wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad at all. Mm-hmm. There's two more raids that I have not done. I think because I did Garden of Salvation, and so I need to do Vow of the Disciple and Deepstone Crypt, and I will have done all the raids in the game. I'm pretty sure.
Now, I've never done raids in Destiny. You know, I haven't really played the game like a lot.
Yeah.
How does like loot work? Do you have to roll off for loot, or like how does that work?
Everyone gets their own roll. All right, so like you beat the boss, and either the boss will drop loot or there will be a chest there for you to open the chest.
And when you everybody
has access to it? Yeah, everyone has their own. Like whatever drop or whatever the chest is in the chest, everyone is a random roll of what it's going to be. So like you don't take loot away from another player.
That is so good, because in WoW, it was not like that. Like the boss only dropped a certain number of things. Like it was like maybe 3, 4, maybe 5 things. And then, if they didn't drop your thing, shit out of luck. Time to do the raid again.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to roll off. You had to roll for the loot.
It's crazy. Crazy. The one thing I don't like about Destiny's raids are, until recently, you could only do the raid once a week. So like if you were trying to grind for armor or a specific weapon, a roll on a weapon or something, you could literally do it once a week unless you had multiple characters.
That's kind of trash.
Oh, it's silly. So they just recently this season introduced a way for you to repeat a specified raid and dungeon that week, so you can do it as many times that week as you want, and then it'll rotate to another dungeon and raid next week. I like that they did that. So it gives me if I do a raid, I'm like, oh cool, I want to try and get this weapon or something, then I can go ahead and do that. I've always thought it was weird that you can only do it once a week. I thought that was the silliest thing ever.
Yeah, I think how it was with World of Warcraft is the raid reset every 24 hours or so, maybe.
Okay. I would like that even. That'd be just fine.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a long time since I've played.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So, with this, I have a feeling there's no if. When this Activision Blizzard deal goes through and Microsoft owns Activision Blizzard, let's say they toss the subscription of World of Warcraft in the Game Pass. Would you play it again?
I would consider it. Yeah, I would. Seriously, I would.
Hell yeah.
I would, because big reason I refuse to play now is because Activision Blizzard is a terrible company.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if Microsoft buys them and they improve the culture and then they decide, hey, no more monthly subscription fee for WoW, I'd be very, very tempted to come back.
Yeah, I think it would be very enticing, and it would be definitely a way to get people back into a game that is I won't say it's dying, but it's
very stagnant right now. And
yeah, it's been sitting in a weaker position than it ever has, basically.
Oh yeah. And like one thing I think that they should do when the deal goes through, because it will, is if you have Xbox Game Pass or something like that, like if you have like the Ultimate or something like that, they could be like, hey, if you have this, your subscription to WoW is free.
Yes, that's exactly how I think it should work. I'm curious if they will be able to do it, because there is a there's Elder Scrolls Online, and that's also owned by Xbox, and there is a subscription to that you can pay for, but it's completely optional. You can play the game without it.
Well, that's good.
But you don't. I've never seen it. It's included in anything.
Gotcha.
So I'm hopeful that I think that would pull an insane amount of numbers. Like without a doubt. Because there's going to be people that would be like, oh, I can come back to playing WoW again. And on top of that, getting access to over like 400 games or whatever the fuck the many games they have in now. Like, it's crazy. Like, I think that would really entice people. And they should actively.
They should definitely consider it.
Yeah, absolutely. I would argue
for that. You know, like, I for one would welcome it.
I'd try it. I'd try it without a doubt. They've got controller support now, so I might not be useless.
Yeah, and honestly, like, even though I dislike it, like when I used to play years ago, it's a lot better for like newer players now in terms of like leveling. So it's grindy, which is nice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Cool. Yeah, we went off on a crazy tangent there.
Yeah, we did.
what have you been playing, my friend?
Well, I've actually been only devoting my time to one game, and that is Digimon Survive, that came out for the PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, and I believe Steam.
Yep.
Because it's on PC. And so I've been devoting my time to that, been playing a lot of that. I made it to chapter 5 right now.
You really liking it?
Pretty far into it, yeah. It's a very, very different game than what I'm used to.
I've heard it's more of like
a visual novel, more or less.
Yeah, visual. Yep, that's exactly what I was looking for.
Very similar to like a Telltale game.
yeah.
Where, you know, you're presented with like dialogue options and stuff, and then depending on what you pick, it changes things in the story. So it's like a almost like a choose your own adventure in a way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. For those that don't like to read or don't like visual story games, like, I wouldn't recommend it to you, because you know, 70% of the game is more or less like a novel.
Gotcha.
And then like 30% is like actual like gameplay.
Yeah. Okay.
Which isn't bad. Like, the gameplay is, you know, it's like Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, grid-based combat.
I know this is kind of off topic, but it's kind of one of those monster games in the same realm. I wish that they would bring back Monster Rancher. That was one of my favorite games.
I do too, because they actually re-released it on Nintendo Switch, but the like OG version. And I was excited because like I haven't played that game in so long, but the OG version did not age well.
Yeah. I like Monster Rancher 4. I don't think I ever played the OG.
Yeah, I because the OG one was for PlayStation, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was for PlayStation 1.
I have no idea.
Because I remember playing it for PlayStation 1. Because like there was a thing that you could do where you could put in like different discs in the PlayStation 1 to make random monster encounters appear.
Yeah. Okay, I found it. Yes, it was for the original PlayStation.
Gotcha. But yeah, I enjoyed that game too.
Yeah, it was a fun one. It was a really fun one. Like, I hope that they bring back, like, if they're going to remaster another one, bring back 3 and 4.
Yeah, I agree.
A little bit more advanced ones. And then also consider making a completely, like, new, fresh one, you know?
Yeah.
Following those same suit. Because I thought 4 nailed it. Honestly, for that game, I thought that was my favorite.
Because 4 was for PS2, right?
Yes.
But yeah, one thing to note about the game, Digimon Survive, is it's a lot darker than any like Digimon game or even like the anime.
Oh wow!
Like, I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
So I don't want to like say certain things if people want to play it, but like, it's a very mature game.
That's I kind of like that. I think that's which, pretty cool.
It's kind of reminiscent of like Digimon Tamers, which was season 3 of the anime, where they went a more like darker route.
I didn't watch that one. I watched the original, but I did not
keep up like with it season 1.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been doing that, and that's pretty much like the only game that I've been playing.
That's dope. Awesome. Well, let's jump into our topics. We got a few things to talk about today.
Yeah. Overall, though, it's been a little quiet in terms of gaming news, though.
It has. I feel like it's we're just waiting for these acquisitions to go through. Mm-hmm. you've got. Like, outside the gaming world, you get the start of the football season coming up on us. Like, there's a Hall of Fame game tonight.
Don't even get me started on the Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Clowns, baby. Let's go.
Oh, my God. I don't want to get into it because we're not really a political podcast, but, like,
nope.
Geez. Cheese and rice. That's all I'll say.
Yes. Yes. Always. Yeah, so let's our first topic here. So I saw a report go out that they have started the testing for family sharing for Game Pass.
Yeah, which I think is fantastic.
Yes, so it looks like they're testing being able to family share up to four different accounts, I guess, as for Game Pass, which would be sick.
Nice.
That is plenty to cover a household, or if you don't have like a big household, you could. It said friends and family, so it doesn't look like they're trying to alienate people that want to share with just their friends, because that's what they've always done. So I'm really happy to see that, and I've always thought that this should be something that they invest in sometime.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. Like, it can. The only thing it will do for them is just improve their already stellar service. So,
absolutely. So it was just
I was gonna say, I think Netflix should take a page out of that book and, you know, pump the brakes on their whole, you know, oh my god, you shouldn't share your password.
Netflix is in for a rude awakening when they do that.
Actually,
that is coming.
I think soon. I remember reading that Netflix actually like lost money in their recent quarter earnings for the first time in a long time.
Oh yeah, and their shares tanked.
They lost a lot of money. Who else lost a fair amount for the first time in a while? There's some other company.
Maybe it was HBO, because I heard they're doing layoffs as well.
Yeah.
The streaming world is a little wild right now.
Well, it's so competitive. Like, there's so many services now.
There really is. We almost have too much to watch.
Yes. No, I'm right there with you. Like, there's this a saying in business where it's crippled by indecision.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you're presented with so many options, you don't pick one because there's just so many. You're like very indecisive, you know?
Yeah. Like, I have like a list of like shows, animes, movies and stuff I need to get through.
Same.
I actually just picked up the Halo TV show.
Nice. I still need to watch that.
Yes. Yes. I will tell you right now, just a real quick thought on it. So the first like battle scene played full homage to the games.
That's
my
awesome.
God. Like the sounds. Like the gun sounds, the sounds of like armor recharging, like it was awesome. I was like,
like getting flashbacks to playing the game.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It was a really, really cool moment.
I don't know how many episodes you've seen, but have they included the iconic Halo theme?
The theme song?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard it. No,
I'm sure they'll include it because it's so iconic.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm only in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
I'm like more than halfway done with it. I had to stop for a little bit, but I plan to try and watch a lot more of it this week. But yeah, I assume it'll be a thing. I'm gonna replay like the beginning just to make sure it didn't pop on. I just didn't notice it or I skipped it or something. But I don't think I've heard it yet.
Gotcha.
Awesome. We have a topic on Tencent.
What is going on with Tencent, the mega company / conglomerate.
Yep.
That is what it is. I don't care what anybody says.
Yep. Of anyone that should be getting challenged about acquisitions, it should be them.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I do feel like they're borderline like monopoly, you know?
They are. They have so many like IPs, so many companies they've just eaten over the years.
They've got their hands in pretty much everything when it comes to like the entertainment sphere.
Yep, I agree.
Like, but they even have they have their own film studio and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's crazy to me.
But yeah, the reason why we bring up Tencent is not only are they making moves towards Ubisoft, which we'll talk on in a brief moment, but they're also working with Logitech. And yes, that's actually huge news because they're teaming up to try to advance the mobile gaming market with a brand new device, in which they are combining support with Microsoft and NVIDIA. So two obviously powerhouse companies. Logitech as well is a powerhouse company. Like, they're very, very well known, very trusted. So the fact that all of these people are kind of coming together trying to formulate a plan to release a new mobile console is, it's definitely enticing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
They do have their work cut out for them, though, because they do have to compete with the already existing devices on the market. The biggest being the Steam Deck.
Yep.
Which
I would say the Steam Deck and I guess kind of the Switch, but I feel like if you own a Switch, you can own anything.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I don't want to say you should compete with the Switch because they're in a world of their own in terms of like how good they are. Like, nobody's beating Nintendo in terms of mobile gaming.
And I'm always curious about this. What is Nintendo going to do after the Switch?
Yeah, I mean, big shoes to fill because they released the OLED.
Yep.
And that was their last console, was that. So yeah, I don't know.
Switch Pro, like, that's I don't know. Like, a OLED, more powerful, bigger battery, like, like, just things like that that we've been asking for the Switch to have for ages now.
I mean, the next console that they release is going to have to be revolutionary.
Yeah, it's going to have to be something like creative. It's got to be something that the gamers are going to want. They're going to be like, well, I have a Switch. Like, what's the point of me getting this?
Like, why should I buy this new thing?
Yep. It's interesting. It's very interesting. But I'm very happy to see Tencent, Microsoft, NVIDIA, all of them teaming up on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah, it should be pretty good.
So what's the business with them and Ubisoft?
Yeah, so they want to become like a majority stakeholder in Ubisoft. They are trying to like literally buy their way to the top of Ubisoft so that they can influence exactly what goes on in Ubisoft. It's like they're being extremely aggressive, apparently. Let's see. So Ubisoft is currently valued at around $5.3 billion. Tencent is looking to buy at a price about $101 per share.
Oh, wow.
Its 2018 stake was bought at roughly $67 per share. And Ubisoft's stock price has averaged around $45 per share this year. So that's they're not trying bad. To pay. Yeah, but they're trying to pay basically $60 more per share to gain like basically ownership of Ubisoft.
They really want them
aggressively.
Yeah, they really want them.
And I don't blame them. Ubisoft's got some good IPs.
Oh yeah, they do. And they're one of the better companies out there.
Mm-hmm. Like after this, after this news came out, their shares went up another 15%.
That is not surprising.
Not at all, because they totally can pull it off. Probably, you know, it's crazy. Like because they, I guess one insider saying that Tencent is very determined to nail down the deal, as Ubisoft is such an important strategic asset for Tencent.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
So we'll keep an eye on that.
Sure we'll hear more about it in the coming days.
Absolutely. They already own a shit ton of studios, IPs, so it's only gonna get worse.
Worse and better at the same time. Who knows?
Yes. And speaking of something that's getting worse, Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
I wasn't excited about this news that dropped. And I'm gonna speak on mainly the competitive scene of Pokemon play. We want to table another conversation of Pokemon till next week when Devin Darkness Tiger returns, because we want to talk more on Scarlet and Violet. For today, we will focus on the competitive scene for Pokemon. So recently, if you haven't heard the news, I don't know, like the governing body of like Pokemon competitive play. Like, I don't know if like the Pokemon company made this decision or who made the decision, right? But the decision is that mythical Pokemon are now legal in competitive play. And that's all mythical Pokemon. So mythical Pokemon are mons that you get through special events. Typically, they are timed events, which means you have one chance and one chance only to access these dudes. So
you're cutting out a little bit, my friend, but keep going.
Oh, sorry. I don't know why my stuff is cutting like in and out. I don't know why. But the timed Pokemons mean that you have only a small time frame to access these guys, right? So that means some players are going to have access to them while others do not.
Right. Like, and they're broken.
I'm just find out like who made the decision, but I it's very hard to find. But like the Pokemon that you'll have access to include like Mew, Celebi, Jirachi, Arceus, etc. And no, they've been banned for a long, long time because, you know, not everybody can access them.
Yeah, because some of them are literally, you have to go to like in-person events that could be like somewhere in Japan or even here in the States or Europe. Like it's like there's literally at times like where you literally can't get something that someone else could have.
Exactly. And I don't know, it's going to create an unfair advantage for some people. You know,
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't think this was a good move for competitive play, but that's just me.
Yep. I agree. I think it's a terrible idea. Unless you're gonna make those elusive exclusive Pokemon more obtainable.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna have to.
Who runs these tournaments for Pokemon?
I don't know. Like I would have to really look into it. Because I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. I don't know if it's...
I'm just curious if, like, they even have any, like, you know, like in... who makes Pokemon? I forget right now.
I mean, you got the Pokemon Company. There's Creatures Incorporated that does, like, the designs and stuff. There's Game Freak.
So... what I'm thinking is these people that made these decisions on the tournament side, are they in those people's ears telling them to make those Pokemon more accessible?
That's what I'm wondering too. Question.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm curious how the first tournament's going to go with it.
Yeah, the meta is going to drastically change. That's for sure.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Big time. All right, so we talked very briefly, just mentioned it earlier, about the Microsoft Activision Blizzard purchase, and it looks like there's a little bit of a like some bickering going on with Microsoft and Sony.
A little bit.
So a Reset Era user basically posted some comments on what like Sony has said about the acquisition and what Microsoft has said about the acquisition, as well as some other companies, and it is actually comical. Basically Sony says that let's see, where'd it go? Sony says that Call of Duty is like basically an essential game series, and that without it, like without it staying third party, mm-hmm. it's going to hurt the Sony ecosystem by a lot it's going to force gamers to buy Xbox over PlayStation.
Yeah, now
Microsoft have
that's multi-platform, isn't it? Though
it is multi-platform, but. They're looking at it from this aspect. Sony's had advertising rights to Call of Duty for years now. And it's helped push the game. Oh, yeah. They get some stuff sooner. They've had certain things for Call of Duty that have enticed players to purchase on
PlayStation. Gotcha.
And then now that it's going to go to Xbox, it's going to stay third party. But it's going to go in the Game Pass. You'd be like silly not to buy it on Xbox. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would definitely hurt Sony a lot.
Yeah. So it's like they're just like they're basically in this pissing battle. Telling I think it was a Brazilian judge. And let's see. Basically, here's a statement. So Sony believes that none of these developers could create that none of their developers could create a franchise to rival Activision's Call of Duty, which stands out as a gaming category, like stands out in a gaming category of its own. Why they believe that Call of Duty is so popular that it influences users' choice of consoles. In fact, their network of loyal users is so ingrained that even if a competitor had the budget to develop a similar product, it would not be able to create a rival.
And interesting.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. And then Microsoft basically offers, like, says it the other way. They're like, there's really nothing special about Call of Duty.
I mean, nowadays there isn't. That's for sure.
Right.
It's like they release the same game every year now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, so it's a funny like pissing battle.
Yeah,
and like it's it's expected. I expected that something like this would come, like, because Sony doesn't want this deal to go through. They just don't. It, like, the bottom line, yeah, it's for sure going to hurt some of their console sales, without a doubt. Is it going to kill them? No.
No, but it won't kill them, but it'll definitely hurt. Like,
yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But, like, they can't argue that, like, that this game is so detrimental, and then not other games. They've been buying up franchises as well. I mean,
yes, they have.
They look like they're going to buy Square Enix. I mean, the like writing's on the wall for that purchase.
Yes, it is.
So if for some reason this deal doesn't go through based off of that comment alone, then the Square Enix one shouldn't go through.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hit the nail on the head right there.
Yeah, so we'll see. This is, again, like, it seems like this deal is in the, like, literal last steps. Like, it's going a lot faster than we had imagined. Like, I remember there was a report a couple weeks ago that if the FTC doesn't ask them for anything further, the deal's done on the American side. And so we will see how this all unravels. let's change a little bit of pace here. So
yes, and this was actually kind of cool. I did enjoy this. So we were just talking about, like, first person shooters, and we were even talking about Halo earlier, and we're gonna dive right back into Halo.
Yes, sir.
And a older Halo, actually. Halo 2, yes, in specific. So, oh, the God, popular content creator, Charlie, a.k.a. I believe he goes by Moist Critical, if I'm not mistaken, he issued a challenge. And this challenge was, he offered 5,000 big ones to anyone who could complete a full solo playthrough of Halo 2 on Legendary difficulty with 13 of the difficulty modifying skulls activated. The 14th skull called Envy gives you active camouflage in place of your flashlight. And 3 weeks later, nobody claimed it. So he bumped the reward up to $20,000.
It's crazy.
And it's crazy. In 18 years since its release, no one has been able to achieve this feat. The previous person, a popular Twitch streamer by the name of Jervalin, did finally complete the challenge, and it only took him 6.5 hours.
That's, like, literally nuts.
Which is crazy. That's, like, nothing. So less than 8 hours it took him to do this. He was previously able to complete the first deathless lasso run for any Halo game, which means legendary all skulls on. So he beat the game without dying one time with all of those skulls on. Whew. That's insane. And he did that in 5 hours and 54 minutes and 40 seconds.
That man is crazy, bro.
That dude's cracked.
Absolutely.
So, Charlie owes the man $20,000.
I hope he goes through with it.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, he will. He's known in the community for following through with his no promises and everything. So, I'm not worried about that.
For sure.
I remember playing Halo 2 and getting the Hayabusa armor.
Oh my God, I know.
That was such, like, a sense of achievement. When you were able to get that,
dude, it was like, it was just such a flex. You get online and get into some of those matches, and you're just flexing on people. Yep. You have the high.
Hey, you got that. You got that armor, and people, when you kill somebody, they're just like, "Oh shit, no!"
It was not the Hayabusa
armor.
You got the teabag them in full Hayabusa, you know?
Yeah, buddy. Still to this day, that's crazy. Like one of the best multiplayer online experiences for a first-person shooter was Halo 2.
Absolutely. Let's see. Our last topic is also another fun one.
Yeah, very fun one actually.
So we got to see some numbers. So,
yes.
YouTube released some like launch like view numbers and gave you like a comparison chart. So Elden Ring by far, like, and I don't know if this is like of all time, like these are the highest numbers of like launch views on YouTube. Elden Ring had 3.4 billion views within 2 months. In 60 days, they got 3.4 billion views.
Wow.
Now, to compare that, now this was actually mind-boggling. Let's go back one. The next closest one, GTA 5. How many billion views do you think it got?
GTA 5? I'm going to say it didn't even get a billion.
It actually got 1.9.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised.
And then the next one in line, Red Dead Redemption 2, got 1.4 billion.
And yet, Rockstar refuses to support their online.
Yep. And then we go to Super Mario Odyssey at 828 million. Zelda Breath of the Wild, yep. 638 million.
I was going to guess that.
Yeah, yep.
What about Pokemon? I'm sure that's up there.
I don't have Pokemon on this chart. The next one is Skyrim.
456 really? Okay. Million. I'm kind of surprised because a lot of people stream like Nuzlocke and stuff on Twitch and yep. YouTube. So that kind of surprises me.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. They also showed like how many people like looked up, they uploaded the certain bosses. So they showed the number of they have like a little. Oh, I got a pie graph. I'm sorry. A bar graph.
Yeah.
Uploads by bosses. So Margaret the Fell Omen is number one. Then Melania, Blade of Miquella.
Yep.
Godric the Grafted. Scar Scourge Radon. And then the Draconic Tree Sentinel.
I'm kind of surprised that Melania isn't number one.
I was too, actually.
But it makes sense that what's his face? How do you pronounce his name?
Margaret.
I'm not surprised that he's number one because I think he's the first boss that you encounter, right? Or is it Margaret? Kinda. Or is it Margaret? Is it Margaret or Margaret? I don't know.
That's a good point. I forgot there's two of those.
Yeah, there's two of them.
No clue. Yeah. Not a clue in this world.
Regardless, they're an early boss.
Yes. I actually, for sure, thought the Draconic Tree Sentinel would be number one. Because
he's the very first dude that you basically have to fight.
And you don't have to fight him.
Yeah, you don't have to. It's just you encounter him.
And he pops you. He absolutely, you just walk out and he's standing right there waiting for him. And
I remember when I first started playing Elden Ring and I got access to that like open area, I was like a green thumb, you know, level one, whatever. Yep. And there's the Tree Sentinel on his horse patrolling. I'm like, oh, cool. It's an enemy. I'm going to kill this motherfucker. So I approach him and then the fucking boss music starts playing. I'm like, oh God, this was a mistake. I'm like, no.
He fucking won at me. I didn't stand a chance. I was like, no. You're a god.
I did not either. I mean, I went back to him once I got stronger and you know, beat him thoroughly, but
yes.
I didn't go back for quite some time.
Oh, I didn't go back for a long time. I was like, I wonder if I can beat him now. I was probably like 30 hours in.
Yeah.
You know, like I was like, all right, I think I can flex on this dude. I wonder if I can take him. And like, still, he still had kind of mechanics that were like, okay, man, you're a dick. Mm-hmm. but yes, I truly thought he would be number one. Who do you think was the number one uploaded class, character class?
What's it called? Like a wretch?
Okay.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there is a wretch.
I'm going to say he's number one.
You're not too far off. It was actually the samurai.
Oh, okay. What is the wretch at?
Third. The Hero okay. was second. Wretch third. Astrologer fourth. And then Warrior fifth.
Samurai doesn't surprise me because nope. when you pick the Samurai, you get access to, I think, the longbow, right?
Yes. Yes.
And that is a very good item slash weapon to have early game. And plus, people love Samurai. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Just like the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Because, like, they are. The yeah. two most popular weapons are the Moon Veil and the Rivers of Blood, which are katanas.
If you saw my build, you'd be like, this dumb motherfucker. I literally am running dual great hammers or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen that build.
I ran the Vagabond, so I just jump and I just slap down yeah. both of the hammers.
you're throwing the hammer down.
That's fucking right. I literally built like so high endurance. I have almost the tankiest armor in the game while wielding mm-hmm. both of those things and not slow rolling, which is hysterical.
There's this popular build in Elden Ring called The Wall. I don't know if you've seen this, but basically you outfit your dude with two of these freaking big ass shields and they serve as like your weapon, and you equip like heavy armor and stuff, and you are literally like a wall, and you're like literally impossible to kill because you're so tanky.
What the hell?
Yeah, dude, it is hilarious. So look it up when you have free time. It's called The Wall, and it is the most entertaining thing that you can possibly see.
Oh my god, I see it. Okay,
yeah, it is really funny.
That is hysterical.
Because like the two iconic builds are obviously like the let me solo her, you know, with the the pot on the head, and you know he's naked yep. with the two katanas, so he's like glass cannon, right? He's what I like to call an unstoppable force, and the wall is the immovable object.
So fucking stupid, bro.
But yeah, that's the one thing I like about Elden Ring is like there's so much player creativity when you
yes.
are doing these like classes and stuff. Like people have not only like made characters that look cool, but they also do stuff that's cool.
Yeah, I still have to finish it. I fell off and like
yeah.
I got really tilted by the fire giant because he's a dick.
Yeah, I mean, he takes a little bit to conquer, but.
Yeah, yeah. I think my build is just not the best for him because
yeah.
I'm slower. Like, I'm not slow rolling and I'm not, I'm not attacking slow per se.
Yeah.
But, like, the build is slower. Like, I'm yeah. not swiping like a katana or anything.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a bleeding build is good against the fire giant. Mm-hmm. giving him like status ailments like poison or something like that. Scarlet rot.
Yep.
That's always good. Like my build had a lot of like scarlet rot mechanics with the like the dragon abilities.
Yeah.
And that really helped me a lot in quite a bit of fights.
I bet. I like literally up until him I was just basically two shotting bosses.
Yeah,
because you just drop two hammers. Mm-hmm. On but like, he just is different where he gets extremely tanky once he goes to his second phase.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't hurt him. Like, I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not doing any damage. And mm-hmm. he basically one hits me.
It's like you barely chisel his health.
Right, right. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Cool. Well, we've chatted a lot about video games. Yes. Did you have anything that you like for our review segment?
Yeah, I mean, I could give, I guess, a more deeper impression of Digimon Survive to say, you know, let you know if you should buy it or whatever.
Yeah.
Basically, kind of echo my previous statements of if you like visual storytelling and if you like turn-based grid combat that's very strategic, then I highly recommend it. And if you also like collecting things, like let's say like monsters, think, you know, Pokemon, for instance, like if you like that sort of thing, I would recommend it. But if you don't like visual storytelling and kind of like a slower game, I would not recommend it. So I guess overall, I would give it like a 7.75 out of 10, maybe an 8 out of 10 if I'm being generous.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then I think that was pretty much, I watched a new anime film recently called Pompeo the Cinephile, which is basically like an anime movie that is a love letter to film fanatics.
Okay.
Which it was kind of like a really cool and interesting film about basically the movie making process. And It was just like, it made me smile a lot because the main character is like this kind of introvert who's very passionate about filmmaking. And it talks about his journey on, you know, making his first film, directing it, all that fun stuff. And It was actually a really nice watch. And I would really recommend it to anime fans or just people who like movies. So I would actually give that one like an 8.5 out of 10.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah. So it's called Pompeo the Cinephile.
And then let me think. For me, I finished The Umbrella Academy season
3. Nice.
So I would say if I'm gonna rate the season, I would give it a solid 8. A solid 8 out of 10. I thought they did a good job. It was weird. It was really weird. Like they took a very different direction than I thought it was gonna go.
All right.
Like the thing that killed it for me why I can't give it any higher than like an 8 is they did this thing where basically they followed the same direction that they did the season before, and I felt like they could have been more creative than that. I don't want to spoil it because
I do plan on watching the second season, or at least finishing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought the first and second season were, like, the first season was my favorite. I thought the second season was very good. And then this third season, I think it's still very good, but I just really wish they wouldn't have done what they did. it was just weird. It ended well, though. I will
That's
say
good.
That.
That's good.
But it's very much a cliffhanger, and I hope it gets renewed for another season. So we will see.
Nice.
Yeah, and that's basically it for me. I guess let's do our sign-offs. Go ahead and shoot your sign-off.
Well, I have been Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review, also known as Mason. Feel free to check me out on my channel, Rad Dreams Review, on YouTube. I should be posting up some more videos here very soon, so keep in touch with that. And then obviously feel free to check me out on Twitter, rad_dreams, as well as Twitch, rad_dreams.
Awesome. And I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. And then I'm trying to start back up streaming a little bit, so you may see me popping in and out. I don't have a current schedule at the moment because it's kind of ad hoc basis. So just be on the lookout for me. And my my Twitch is twitch.tv/iChameleonEye. And that's the best way to get a hold of me, folks. But thanks again for coming and listening to another episode with the Uninformed Gamers. Please feel free to like, comment, subscribe, tell us how we're doing. If there's any topics you want us to go over, please send them our way, anything like that. But till next time, Uninformed Gamers out.
Yeah. Later. Peace.